From the Revelation to St. John. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. And from the Epistle of John, purify yourselves just as he is pure. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a sign of intellectual degradation in recent times, over Facebook, there was a debate over the best city for barbecue. Debates raged over whether it was Kansas City, Houston, St. Louis, or Memphis, Tennessee. It was one of those nonsensical debates that really was not worth my time, but it was funny. It was funny to read all the stories and the comments that lingered behind that debate. It also sparked a memory of mine about the city of Memphis. As you enter into the hallowed grounds of St. Mary's Episcopal Cathedral, you will see a monument for the Reverend Charles Parsons and the Reverend Louis Schuyler that reads, "Greater love hath no man." When you enter into the sanctuary on the high altar are the words, "Alleluia, Hosanna," which were the last words uttered by Sister Constance. The story behind these memorials is amazing. It was August of 1878, and the city of Memphis was ravaged by yellow fever. This was the third time in 10 years that yellow fever struck, and this time it was declared an epidemic and quarantine was ordered. In the course of days in August of 1878, 30,000 citizens fled Memphis, 20,000 remained, 200 on average were dying daily. Yet Episcopal nuns of the Order of St. Mary, a number of priests, and a group of doctors stayed behind to tend to the sick and the dying. Giving themselves to the love of Jesus and the desire to tend the sick and heal the afflicted, Sister Constance, Sister Thecla, Sister Ruth, Sister Frances, Father Francis, and Father Schuyler eventually succumbed to yellow fever and died. Truly, their sacrifice, care, and martyrdom demonstrated the love of Christ that, in essence, saved the city of Memphis. What drove these sisters, priests, and doctors to sacrifice in such a manner? Bishop N.T. Wright, in his latest book, God and the Pandemic, unpacks what it means to do the work of God. He writes, "God works all things towards the ultimate good with and through those who love him. Rising with Christ is a purging away of the decay of worldly self-centeredness in order to focus on God's will to tend to the poor and heal the sick." In essence, it's the principle to promote the sanctity of life, to be the arms and legs that spread God's love to the world. In the language of the first epistle of John, it is the hope of the resurrection that leads to a purity of motives. The purpose of Christian witness is to spread the hope of eternal life by purging away all the non-essentials that divide us, while singularly focusing on the love of Jesus. Today is the Feast of All Saints, a day we remember the extended communion rail of martyrs and witnesses of the faith who have gone before, guided by the light of truth in Jesus. The great cloud of witnesses that they were strove to live into their identity as the children of God. And their singular focus was living the life of Christian virtue modeled on the ministry, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. In the midst of the great fog that we are in this world, and in the midst of their great fog, they traveled through hostile waters, yet they were focused on the celestial light, the celestial lighthouse of truth. It is the hope of a renewed world through the resurrection of Jesus that led them to the banks of achieving their eternal purpose. That hope purified themselves, for prayers are the purging away of intentions that are self-centered in order to submit wholly to the will of God. Prayers are the whittling down of idolatrous desires in order to focus on the singular purpose of the Christian life, to live into the words of Jesus. The saints knew that such action of singularly focusing on the purpose of living into the kingdom of God would ultimately lead to suffering and martyrdom. In the words of Soren Kierkegaard, "If one in truth wills the good, then one must be willing to suffer all for the good." Amidst their ordeals, these saints joyfully lived into the state of blessedness that our gospel speaks about today. Yes, in the midst of rejection, fear, isolation, persecution, the saints were blessed because they tasted of the goodness of the Lord in the bread of the crucified and resurrected body of Jesus and the chalice of the blood that was shed for the renewal of the world. Whether it is those who are dying for their Christian faith in the Middle East, the martyrs of Memphis, or those who through our history have professed with their lives the love of God made real in Jesus, the blood of martyrs was shed for the promise of a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, where God will shed every tear and the rivers of life with the radiance of God that would dissipate the fog that they experienced in their current situation. Beloved, we're living through a great ordeal. Our calendar year began with promise, and then our world seemed to collapse by the weight of a relatively spherical, small particle called the coronavirus. We're experiencing social and political unrest, and of course, economic uncertainty. Let me offer that we will get through this ordeal in one way or another. Yet, the question we need to be asking ourselves is whether we will be getting through this ordeal with the eternal hope focused singularly on the love of God, or do we choose to focus on our selfish needs and our selfish desires? May the lives of the saints who by their virtuous and godly living showed us the way to the ineffable joys that have been prepared for us serve as an inspiration for us to be emboldened in doing the will and the work of God. Today, I invite you to do two things. One, investigate, examine what needs to be purged from your life in order to singularly focus on God. Second, draw inspiration from a saint. Let me share with you an exercise that I gave our confirmation class a few weeks ago. Find and research the saint whose day is commemorated on your birthday or the day nearest to your birthday, or maybe a saint that's associated with your name. When you draw inspiration from them, what lessons can you learn from those saints? In the meantime, may the witness of Constance and her companions center our thoughts on this All Saints Day in shaping our lives and actions in days to come. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God of compassion, for the heroic witness of the martyrs of Memphis, who in a time of plague and pestilence were steadfast in their care for the sick and dying, and loved not their own lives, even unto death. Inspire us in a like love and commitment to those who are in need, where we follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.